It In Friday. Two headphones and a microphone. Two headphones and a microphone. What do I mean by that if you're in the car? Brian Hayes at home. Jamie Noodles McLennan at home. The O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, all professional, all grown up, back in the studio. What's it like to be in there?
He looks fabulous. You look great.
I am here with Malls. And I think Malls is the only other person I see on this floor. And our main man, Ken, who is going to be running the show next week. So shout out to Ken. Malls is back there. Malls looks good. I think he's lost about 25 pounds. He doesn't have that little pot belly on him anymore. He's dialed in. He looks good. He's got the mask cooking. You can't go anywhere without a mask. It's good stuff around here. Not a lot of people, which kind of makes me sad because... Well, look, all of our friends are in here, but it's definitely a different vibe to be in here. But anything goes wrong, not my fault. I will say that.
That's true.
You have the resources. Megan, who's ever back there, it's your fault.
Well, you've got the resources there, and it was a little bit of, I guess, a drive down memory lane. I was on site today around noon dropping off some Lysol wipes for the room there and all that, and I haven't been on... agent court site. I haven't been to TSN in how many months? 4, 5 months?
Yep.
Why were you dropping off Lysol wipes?
Yeah, why is that your
responsibility? Are you like a cleaning person around here? What are you doing?
Well, no, I mean, I did Steph a favor. I like, she's helping supply, you know, the process there, making sure everything's clean. So I dropped them off, and it was just neat to drive onto agent court. It was really weird. Like, I had the mask on and the gloves. And, you know, I left them outside the door.
You are a thing of beauty. The gloves. So did you go into the building, Noodles?
No,
you're
not allowed.
What do you need gloves for? You're not even in the building. Let me get this straight. You're wearing gloves to hold a Lysol bottle.
Hang on a second. Here's the King Daddy topper. I understand this is an extremely difficult time and it's dangerous and you got to wear a mask. But are you the guy... I've always wondered, and I'm not trying to poke fun, but if you're in your car by yourself, aren't you just kind of breathing in your own deal? Like, why do you wear...
No, I put the mask on before I got out of the vehicle. Like, I don't drive with the mask on. I have a Tesla. I think it has the rejuvenated air. Like, apparently, like, Tesla has,
rejuvenated air?
I can't remember what it's called. They've got a... Tesla has... The Model X has a system in there that, like, literally, if there's, like, a chemical war, you can survive in your Tesla.
Oh, my God. You're Tim Thomas. You're going to have
I'm not Tim Thomas.
Yeah.
Point being is I put the mask on before I get out of respect for everyone. That's the process. That's what we're living with right now. The gloves are just an added layer in case you're touching a knob or whatever. Like, it's believe me, I want to be back to normal. I want to be sitting right by you. I want to be that.
I know. Like, I miss it so much.
I miss it so much. I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you're sitting there.
Well, I don't think we're going to be sitting at this desk because we're not far enough away. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, it'll take a bit.
They got to make a bigger desk if we're going to come back in here. That's just basically what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to be back in there, but on a day like today is where I miss a place like TSN, and I've expressed this before, but I don't think it's exclusive to TSN, although it is a sports environment, clearly. You know, sports on steroids, really, when you consider we're literally talking about sports for a living. But if you're on Bay Street, if you work on a construction site, if you're a teacher, wherever you happen to work, there's a water cooler that sets up shop. You go for a coffee break, you're on your lunch or whatever, and you're talking about the NBA starting up, the Jays rolling, and the Stanley Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. And this should be, although it wouldn't be on July 31st, on the eve of the playoffs beginning, there should be buzz everywhere. Like, everywhere you go, you should pick up on it. People are throwing viewing parties. There's banners all over the place. There's flags on cars. Like, are there going to be flags on cars? Are people going to put Leaf flags on their cars for this run? No. I don't know. They do every other year.
Everybody's driving, really. I mean, people are driving, but you're driving up to the lake. Like, I don't drive that much anymore, Brian, but, like, 400 was jam-packed. I think a lot of people going away for the long weekend this weekend. So, I mean, that was – but I haven't seen one flag, to your point, and usually guys like Joe from the Bridge and their El Camino are driving around with four flags flying off their car. And usually that parking lot at TSN is full of, you know, flags and people that are all fired up. And believe me, there's six Canadian teams. There could be six different flags.
And there would be at a place like TSN. There's people from all over the country that live here and that work here or that are fans of teams from coast to coast. So it is well represented. You roll through the TSN parking lot, if it's packed, on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you'll see Leaf flags, Habs, Oilers, Vancouver, and we're not going to have access to it. And I received an email today from my dad, who's my dad's been running and operating his pool since 1982. All right, so 38 years they've been doing this. And for the first, like, I would say 30 years, it was at my house. So like 15 hooligans, his buddies would show up.
How
on
many
a Saturday.
Years did they do it with darts downstairs?
Oh, the first 15 anyway. It would have been darts and beers and wings. And the kids would be upstairs, and we'd try to sneak down and see what they're doing. We'd get yelled at to get the hell out of here. But they've been doing it since 1982, old school in person. Like, that's when you know it's old school poolies, because they've got the books and the magazines, and they all get together. Yeah. And they just said, we're not going to do it this year because we're not going to do it online. It's not going to feel the same.
Why can't you just do like a Zoom call and just say, what's your pick? Yeah, your dad's not into the Zoom call.
I think it's just you're dealing with, you know, my dad's 67. Not that he's not technologically capable of doing that. He could, but he just, they want to do it. They love the pool because they love getting together with their buddies. Like, that's what it is.
It's an event.
Disappointed in Billy. I think that they're, you know, they could have gone to someone's backyard and grabbed the chair and did it, but Billy just said no way.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, he has admitted, he's like, I'm just not feeling the same. And that's the whole point. I think that's what we're getting to here. I'm looking forward to the games. I love that the games are on, but it is not going to feel the same. It just isn't, because you can't go to the games. You can't get together with buddies and watch. There's no running into Al down by the, you know, water cooler. What'd you think of the game last night? All, you know, Matthews was great. Tavares was brutal. That's just, it's not accessible, you know, like because we can't get into work or into studio, we're going to face the same issues, I think.
It's like part of the process, Brian. Yeah. That's what you're talking about. It's part of the viewing and fandom process is enjoying that and sharing it with other fans. And then, you know, guys who aren't fans of your team arguing, like, to me, you're right. It's part of the whole process of playoff hockey. But, you know, that being said, it's a new world right now. You've got to find a way to adapt. And I would argue, you know, if the Leafs end up getting by Columbus, I think people's mindset will change.
I agree.
If they end up going deeper, all of a sudden you'll get that bug. So, you know, early on, I think as fans, you're just kind of sitting back and going, I want to see how this all shakes out. And then, you know, one team starts to get on a heater, you will see the emotion rise. You will see people adjusting to it. But I think everyone's just kind of waiting to see how this is going to unfold, you know, not just for the Leafs, but every fan base.
I totally agree with that. I think the buildup will get there. I think this has the possibility to play out almost like a movie script, where there is a lot of doubt. There is a lot of just uncertainty and maybe some pessimism. Like, what's it going to be like? I don't know. Am I feeling it? And then if something catches lightning in a bottle, all of a sudden there's going to be a buildup, and wave after wave after wave, people are going to get into it more and more. And if we can keep the numbers where they're at today and get into September, we may be into, I don't know, stage four at that point. And then all of a sudden you're with more people, and then maybe the patios are open and you're watching playoff games and it starts to feel a little bit more normal. And I look at the NBA last night, you know, I thought they were quality games. Like, they came down to the final possession, both games. That's all you can ask for. And I'm trying to get a read on the lack of energy, lack of intensity. Was it because they're in the bubble, or was it because this is a regular season game? And regular season games in the NBA have a tendency to just kind of feel like, we got to play them to get to the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not going to overreact to, wow, they weren't yelling and screaming and in each other's faces. I thought they were pretty good games, you know.
Yeah.
Again, the Lakers pick up a late win. Utah gets a late win. There's some storylines that came out of it, and we're off and running. Let's see where we're at come playoff time in 2 weeks.
What did you think of the TV screens with people and faces in
there? I loved it.
But I thought it was cool, man.
At first, I was like, what the hell is that? Because, like, I, for some reason, that detail, I missed it. That they were going to have fans, like actual, I guess, Zoom fans? Like, is that what it was? Like, people
sitting
in there?
Well, like Chris Bosh was in
there. Yeah. Why is Chris Bosh just sitting there?
He's just like, in there.
Yeah, like sitting in a white chair, like just hanging out. Like, and like when a bucket would go in, you wouldn't see the fans' like arms go in the air or anything. They're just sitting there.
Like, right. It was like the intro of the Brady Bunch. You know when all the kids show up and they're just looking in different directions? Like, that was basically what it was.
It was awesome, though.
It was great. We got to plant someone. We got to see if we can get, like, Al's brother courtside. Just get his face with a turtleneck down in the bubble. Sweating.
You know what? Who would be in the Raptors, I guess, if it's 200 fans?
Well,
Nav would be there, and Drake.
I would assume.
Drake would have.
I'll bet you Drake would be too cool for that. Drake won't allow himself to be used. I would be. I hope I'm wrong, but I would be surprised if Drake allows his face to be used by the NBA in whichever fashion they're going to use it. You know, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I guess we'll find out. I would think Nav would be in there for sure. I think the Leafs, if the Leafs could do it, although they're not doing it, we need the guy right behind the bench.
The tanning bed king.
The permatan king. Yes, we need him.
I think he owns that steakhouse, right?
Yeah, he does. He owns a big one downtown.
Apparently,
it's just a beauty, like a great guy.
Oh, I'm sure. I love the guy. I mean, I joke about that, but, you know, he has a great life, and obviously those are fantastic seats, but he's in every shot. Like, this guy is
he's right behind the bench all the time, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
But, yeah, we got to work on that. We got to get a plant down into the bubble.
Al's brother would be amazing in a turtleneck.
Wouldn't it be hilarious?
Just sitting there.
For random games, too.
I think Al's brother posted a pic of just a random chicken sandwich and just he was like, this is the new thing in the rotation. I just laughed at him. It was in the middle of the summer. Just a random Al's brother. He's like, this sandwich is now the King Daddy topper.
Right.
And he loves it.
He does. And he had sawed off about four bites already. Like, that thing.
What was that thing?
3 pounds if it was an ounce. And he had carved through half of it. And I don't know. He just posted the pic. He's like, this is the new weapon of choice. Down in Niagara. He's got everything in Niagara locked down.
We got to go down there just to feed with Al's brother. We got to get him on Monday or Tuesday to chit-chat.
Does he live on a farm? Like, I'm not lying. Like, does he live in a... It looks like he has some land or something there. We have to find out if he actually lives, like, on an acreage or something like that. Like, we could do a social distance show from Al's brother's farm.
Take the show on the road to Al's brother's farm.
And have him as a guest sitting in. But if it's the middle of the summer, we have to put him in a turtleneck.
Absolutely. He is in the thickest turtleneck eating chicken sandies.
It would be awesome.
Al's brother, our boy.
I think it would be great.
So we got a couple big things to get to this afternoon. We will be announcing our Golf Town winner. Okay, so you got to tune in between now and 7 o'clock where we will announce the name of the winner on the show. We've got Mark Shapiro coming up at 5:30. Jays were supposed to be in Philly tonight. Obviously, we know they won't be. 20% of baseball is just postponed because of COVID. And did you hear this story about how they're going to get the Marlins infected players back down to Miami? So there are, I believe there's now 19 players and a couple of staff members.
Where are they now?
They're still in Philly. They are going to bus them down to Miami. So this is over 1,000 miles. I think it's like 1,100 miles between Philly and Miami. That would take a couple days. And some guy, the busy, like, how do you get that gig? And how do you not turn it down or demand like $100,000 cash?
Why aren't they chartering a plane like they would to begin?
I would assume it's FDA. I'm assuming it's like, we know you're positive, so you're not allowed in the airport.
If they rented their own plane?
Well, there's the team plane where I would assume that's the healthy players are on that. And their plan is to get all of them on a bus and bus them to Miami. But could you imagine being Chris Farley, the bus driver on that? Like, how would you?
You'd be in a full hazmat suit.
You'd have to be. Like, that's. Yeah. And how much cash would that have to warrant? Like, you'd have to demand
$10,000.
Like, a ton of money. Like, a ton of. That is literally putting your health on the line, driving people that are COVID positive from Philly down to Miami.
Don't you think, Hayes, that it's days before the season's canceled? I think the Cardinals had positive tests now.
They did, yeah.
So whoever is in that clubhouse, whoever their opponents are, I was listening to Dan Patrick, I think 20% of the league. So
20%,
It's a mess. So when are they going to – it just seems like the seconds are ticking away before they have to cancel this.
Yeah, I would say that if there isn't like a, hey, we're going to take a 2-week pause for everything, I don't think they're just going to shoot from the hip and go, it's all done. But I wouldn't be surprised if they shut it down like and say, hey, we're going to take a, you know, a 2-week pause and reassess after that. I think shutting it down is just that last resort. They're still going to try and somehow. And I know what you're saying. Oh, like it seems like it's hopeless anyways, because it's almost like, you know, it's not going in the right direction. Like every day you're finding out about more and more. And then this, you know, this it early on, it was just the Marlins. That was it. Now all of a sudden Philly's sneaking in there. Now another team, you know, it's like it's trickling through. But I would think the league has to have maybe a reset where it's like, hey, we got to shut this down for 2 weeks, lock everyone down, and then have a plan moving forward. That's the thing. Like
that would be ideal right now, but you're dealing with
TV networks.
You're dealing with major partners, which should be secondary. This is why it's difficult to trust anybody, because they always say, oh, our primary focus is the safety of the players. Well, it hasn't been the primary focus so far.
Yeah, David
but what
Price
they should
mentioned
do,
that too.
Yeah, they should do yeah. is shut it down for 2 weeks, everyone quarantined. Sorry, guys, we're going right back to square one. The problem with that is then the arms shut down, so you got to build your arms back up. So you can't just step back on the field 15 days from today. You'd need another week, I would say, maybe a week and a half of training camp, and then you're risking the same possibility popping up again. But in a perfect world, that's what they should do, is quarantine everyone for 2 weeks, come up with absolutely strict plans. Like, no one's allowed – basically, what the Blue Jays had to do when they were up here, and they all complained about it, we're not doing that, we're not quarantining. That's what you have to do if you want to get the season done.
Yeah.
Like, no going to bars, no going to the club, no picking up wings at the peeler. Like, literally, you are at home and you're at the park.
Yeah,
that is
but
it.
It's just if you're leaving it up to the players, 35 guys on each team, to just say, oh, don't,
they're not doing you, it.
They're not doing it.
Well,
not,
that's their own problem.
You're right, but what?
Well, it's
what
their
I,
own problem, but it's the I, league's problem, because it's just never going to get fixed.
And the next thing
that's going to happen, as soon as Miami, I mentioned to you guys, somebody like Trout's just going to say, screw this, man, I'm not doing it. Somebody that was on the fence, they're just going to say, screw this, I am not doing this.
Yeah, I thought about this last night. Like, they would have been better trying to create a bubble or two bubbles, just like the NHL did, in two different places in America. I know Texas is a hot spot, Arizona's a hot spot, but had they created a bubble back in June,
They tried to, though, Noodles. They wanted to, and the players said no.
Yeah,
and then they said the logistics weren't – it's not possible. There's too many players. There's too many games. That was, I believe, it was supplied to the players. Let's go to Arizona, although I don't know if that was ever going to work, because they only have one indoor park in Arizona, and it's like 110 degrees every day there, so you can't play outside. But that was – an option, and the Players Association said no.
I feel like the players have to own some of this too. They screwed with the process all along. Like, it's easy to just blame it on Manfred, but like, to me, I think the players have had pushback left and right, and they've tried to like negotiate and maneuver along here.
Well, furthermore,
there's a lot of blood on everyone's hands.
They're not even listening to the rules, though. Like, you watch one inning, watch how many guys are spitting all over the place.
Yeah,
like, that rule book came out. They said no spitting. Everyone is spitting. No seeds. Everyone's spitting seeds. No tobacco. Everyone's got tobacco. Like, it's like, and the thing is, the umpires, too. Do you see Joe West the other night with a neck warmer on? That guy did not have his face mask on once. It was not properly on his face once. And he's like 70 years old and over 300 pounds. And he's walking around. It's a neck warmer. Like, what is the point of that? Like, that's your own employee. That's where it is, Manfred. And you would say, guys, umpires, you've got to prove, you got to show some sort of an example here. But it just hasn't happened. We're going to get into the NBA. We're going to look back on the two games last night. Hugely disappointing, the Zion Williamson story. We'll get into that in depth. Later this hour, we will look towards the Stanley Cup playoffs opening up tomorrow. We're each going to go around the table. Our top three compelling Cup winners. So, in order, 1 through 3, which team or set of teams or circumstance would be the most compelling story to go on a cup run and eventually win the Stanley Cup? We'll get to that. Rays coming up. Darren Dreger's coming up. Mark Shapiro at 5:30. We will announce our Golf Town winner today as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, 4 p.m. hour brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your lease today with LeaseBusters. It's as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit LeaseBusters.com. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Darren Dreger at 6:05 on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Getting going tomorrow, a bunch of games tomorrow. The Habs play tomorrow. The Leafs are playing Sunday night. And Mark Shapiro will join us in just over an hour. Going to head down, I believe, to the NBA bubble, although I probably shouldn't say that without knowing that definitively. But Kirk Goldsberry will join us, ESPN NBA analyst, get his take on last night. And I was so disappointed with the Zion Williamson load management, minute restriction. And maybe I'm jaded because we just saw The Last Dance. But the idea that this is a kid who apparently is in the best shape of his life and is in the bubble, and his team is there specifically so his team can get an opportunity to make the playoffs and go on a run, and he plays 15 minutes and doesn't go in for the final 2 or 3 minutes of play when it's basically a tie game, including the final possession of the game when they're down 2 with about 6 seconds to go.
What is the explanation for that?
It's just he's had, you know, he was away from the bubble, and he had some knee issues, and he's had the issues all year. So someone has determined, and I guess it's a doctor or a, you know, someone within the medical staff, yeah, who's decided that this guy is on a minutes restriction, and the hope is this will benefit him later in his career. I get that, but
I know, but don't just, you want to get him to a position where it's like when you come back, when you take your sweatsuit off and your game gear's on, you're ready to play.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
And save him for the end of the game, right? Like you can't put him in for the final play, 6 seconds left. Zion Williamson can't go in for 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Like he's 20 years old. And again, I know it's not fair to apply the Michael Jordan psychotic logic to Zion, but why isn't he saying, guys, if I'm coming, I'm playing. Like, remember the Jordan story where he's like, I'm playing. Like, I'm playing. I don't care if this might derail my career. I'm going out and playing. I am freaking out about not playing, and I want to win, and I'm here to win, and I'm going to drag my team somewhere. And it's just the whole reason the team is there is so Zion can play. He didn't play last night.
Yeah.
It was
they're bubble wrapping him. That's what they're doing.
It's bubble wrapping, and it's the era of load management on, you know, the most extreme level. And it's frustrating. Like, it's been 4 months, and we want to watch Zion play, and it's, nope, can't play. 15 minutes, sit there. And by all accounts, he didn't put up much of a fight either.
No.
Here is ESPN NBA analyst, used to work for the Spurs. He's worked for Team USA in the past. Kirk Goldsberry joins us now. How you doing, Kirk?
I am great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Do you have an explanation on Zion and the minutes restriction, like why it is being applied and what the logic is behind it?
Well, it is a sports science question. I think the thing with Zion is that he, for family reasons, had to leave, probably couldn't train, and instead of throwing him back into 30 minutes a game, the team and the organization decided that he could only play 15 minutes per game. Welcome to 2020 load management, as you guys were just talking about. That's the reality that we're living in, and it was weird watching it because how do you choose those 15 minutes? This guy should be playing 30 minutes. I see everybody's point of view here, but the bottom line is that he's the most important asset in arguably the history of that organization, and they are treating him as kid gloves. They're not going to win the finals this year. They're trying to preserve this guy's career.
What's his take on it? Is he all on board saying, I'll do what you want, or is he the kind of kid that's like, if I'm going to play, I want to play?
You know, I'm going to guess that he wanted to play, but that would be just me projecting. So I don't know. He strikes me as somebody who's a competitor, but he also strikes me as a smart young guy who's sort of aware with sports science, and he doesn't want to be back on the surgeon's table again. He's been there at least once in his career, and he's had these knee troubles. He puts a lot of weight on his body, and I hope that he's trusting the scientists around him because, man, I want to see this guy playing for years.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. I mean, I understand the idea of long-term preservation, but, you know, what is an extra 6 seconds? What's an extra 2 or 3 minutes, right? With sports science, you never really know, and you never get an answer because all the coaches just come out and say, go talk to them. Oh, they're not allowed to talk to you, so never mind.
You guys remember Steven Strasburg for the Washington Nationals, and I feel like that's the same concept. We all know that they need to manage the load, but where are you going to draw the line? Somebody makes an arbitrary rule up, and we follow it. And that gets frustrating, especially in a close game we all want to see this guy last night. We're so thirsty for a great game and a great performance. By the way, we got two of them. But, yeah, we wanted to see Zion in crunch time against Rudy Gobert, and we were robbed of that because of the load management phenomenon.
With Kirk Goldsberry of ESPN, what was your overall thought on the intensity, the energy in the building last night with both games?
Well, the biggest play of the night was LeBron James, the oldest man on the floor, winning one for the old guys out there like me. I was thrilled with how much effort he and his teammates and the Clippers, they were playing intense basketball last night, both games. But my big takeaway was the oldest guy in the game in the second game, getting that rebound and that putback, and then defending Paul George and Kawhi Leonard like it was the playoffs. It was awesome. The intensity was there. There was a little bit of slop. A lot of turnovers. The Clippers had a lot of turnovers. Not great shooting. I think the Clippers were the only team that was really sharp with their jumpers last night. Now, that's to be expected. But overall, I can't complain. I'm just thrilled to have this back in my life, guys.
Yeah. Well, I think you speak for a lot of people. What does that Lakers win mean, though, ultimately? The Clippers kind of own them during the season. The Clippers, depending on who you talk to or who you ask, I think they're the favorites. They should be the favorites out West. Based on age discrepancy, like you pointed out, does it mean anything, a regular season game in the bumble down in Orlando, for the Lakers to pick up that W last night?
It means a little bit. I mean, they're 2-2 against the Clippers now. I think they've won their last two games against them. I still have the Clippers with a slight edge. Remember, we did not see Lou Williams. We did not see Montrezl Harrell, two huge pieces of that Clippers rotation in that game last night. So the Lakers needed to win. Because if the Clippers had won that one without those guys, man, they're super confident against, you know, the L.A. Lakers in the Western Conference. So the Lakers staved that phenomenon off by getting that win and showing that the Clippers, that it's not going to be easy to push them over. And so I think it was a good win for the Lakers. It's a regular season game, but it's got to feel good going into this weird situation to beat your crosstown rival and your likely opponent for the Western Conference Championship for the Lakers.
Yeah, that feels like where it's trending. What about in the East? I mean, most people think Milwaukee will be one of those two teams. Where do you go beyond Milwaukee if you have them in the Eastern Conference Final? Which team comes to mind second for you in the East?
Well, I love the Toronto Raptors, but let me get there first, because I wrote a piece on ESPN.com today about how the Bucks are actually invincible, and we used Nick Nurse's blueprint from last year for inspiration. The Raptors, the Celtics, the Miami Heat, and the Philadelphia 76ers could all beat the Milwaukee Bucks if things fell their way. What we saw last year from the Raptors was they are one of the most well-coached organizations, creative schemes on both ends of the court, smart rotations. That team does not beat itself. I think the Bucks are the most talented. But what we saw last year, guys, was a single defensive tactical switch by Nick Nurse, which kept Giannis at bay, which kept Giannis more specifically out of the paint. And so what we're looking at in the Eastern Conference is, are there teams that can do that? Are there defenders that can match up with Giannis? And the answer is maybe. Pascal Siakam deserves some credit. The man is improving on both sides of the court immensely. You guys know that every year. Then you look at Miami, who has Bam Adebayo and one of the best shooting backcourts in the league. Remember, Milwaukee's a team that gives up too many threes, lives by the three and dies by the three. If somebody gets hot, like Fred VanVleet, name ring a bell, I'm sure it does for your listeners. Mm-hmm. He got red hot in the last three games of that series last year. You know, somebody could come out here and beat them. So to answer your question, I like Toronto. I like Boston. I like Miami to give them a great series and maybe get over the top.
You can find them at ESPN, ESPN.com, Kirk Goldsberry. Really appreciate the insight, Kirk. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
There's Kirk Goldsberry again of ESPN. Yeah, I thought the game, the Lakers-Clippers game, had some heat, had some intensity.
Yep.
Watching Kawhi kind of cruise around like a cyborg is always felt normal, right?
Yeah, like, did. He just looked difference? Like he was out for a Sunday stroll.
Yeah, just cruising
like he
around.
Was, you know, I watching Zion too. Like, he's not ripped. He's just big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everyone's talking about him being in this amazing shape. Like he just looks like he's just a specimen as far as a guy who can move and be very athletic at a really reasonable size. Like I expected to see something different. Like I was
know,
built
he's
up.
He's just a big dude with hops.
He's just
hops.
A big like, guy who could move. Yeah, like he is. He looks
he's
by
as explosive as they come. You're
yeah,
right, though.
Looks I do special.
Think, I think there was some filter action in the one pick.
I know, because I saw the one pick. His arms look shredded. I'm
right.
like, is that the same? That's the only reason I was going off it. I'm like, this guy is shredded.
Right. Yeah. Everyone was saying the same thing, and I think it was a filter mashup. I think someone got the filter down
filter.
On the right angle. Yeah, I could use that as well. But I think, because, like, listen, he looked good, but
no, he looks
right.
great.
He like, wasn't. He didn't look like he was 6'8", you know, 205 pounds and shredded about to run a marathon.
Right.
But I don't think he's built that way. You're never going to see that out of him. But you know what I was thinking about this morning? This is the all-time hypothetical. Do you think if we could have looked into the future, if we had a glass ball last July, early July, and we went to Kawhi Leonard and we said, Kawhi, it's going to be a pandemic that hits, all right? And you're going to end up playing basically the final 8 games of the regular season in the playoffs in a bubble in Orlando. So not at Scotiabank in Toronto. Not at Staples Center in L.A., but bubble, Orlando, no fans. Do you think he would have re-signed with the Raptors for 1 year?
He might have. You know, it's a great point.
It's,
although
I just can't get by the hypothetical.
It's such a ridiculous hypothetical.
Well, I know, but
he's got to sit and digest all that and be like, okay, hang on a sec, a pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic's going to shut the world down.
He would have just walked away and said, I'm not playing, period.
Yeah, you lost your mind, Masai. Like, leave me alone, dude. Go stand on a street corner and start yelling at people.
But I also think Steve Ballmer might have met him at Christie Pitts in L.A. too, or Uncle.
That.
What's the
Uncle
guy? What's
Dennis?
He, old Uncle Dennis got
yeah.
his.
I think that was
going to
happen
too.
Anyway. But the point I'm making, as goofy and ridiculous as the hypothetical is, this. Yeah, he's representing the Clippers, but he's not really playing for L.A. right now. Like he's not. You're not at the Staples Center. You're not living in L.A. And you go there. Anywhere Kawhi was going, it was partially for. You know, okay, where are you going to live? But ultimately, how are you going to win championships and go on playoff runs? Like, this is the focus of the NBA season, the stretch run of the regular season and the playoffs, and he's doing it at Disney in Orlando.
Right.
So why not be with the Raptors? Like, you're not living in the Hollywood Hills anyway. You're not playing for your hometown team, really, because there's not going to be a parade and no fans are showing up. There's no
Who's
buzz
the better
in the city.
Team? Who's the better team in
well,
your
if,
opinion?
If Kawhi's on the Raptors right now, the Raptors are
better.
By far the best team in the NBA. I don't even think it's close. I think they're way better than – I shouldn't say way better, but they're better than Milwaukee. They're better than the Lakers. If Kawhi is right now on this team, they are the best team in the NBA, and I think it would be indisputable. Indisputable. Because look what they've done without him. Look what they did with him. They won a title. And since he left, they're on pace for 60 wins in second place
right.
in the East.
A lot of people are counting the Raptors as one of their favorites. They'd be heavy favorites.
They'd be the favorites in the NBA. If Kawhi was still on their team with everyone else healthy, with Siakam, with Kyle, with Fred, with Gasol and Ibaka and all these Ananobi coming off the bench, they would so far and away be the favorites in the NBA. It would be scary. You know, Vegas, and that doesn't mean they get the most love because they'd still be in Toronto. So you'd be talking about LeBron and the Lakers. Giannis would get love because of how he plays and who he is. But I would be shocked if Vegas didn't have them, every sports book in Vegas, the Raptors, as the prohibitive favorite if Kawhi's still on this team. But that's why it's a hypothetical. It's not the case. He's with the Clippers. All right, moving on. The Raptors still have a shot to maybe meet him in the NBA Finals. And they start their season down there or resume their season tomorrow night. So we're going to get to our compelling cup winners, all right? We'll look to the future. We're each going to come up with 3 teams or a storyline or whatever. We can get creative with this. And what we believe would be the most compelling storyline to chase a cup and eventually win a Stanley Cup, all right? We're going to do that. Ray Ferraro's coming up. Mark Shapiro in just under an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the 4 p.m. hour brought to you by LeaseBusters. They will rescue you from your car lease. LeaseBusters, heroic, maybe helpful, totally. People would love to take over your car lease. For your lease relief, go to LeaseBusters.com. So on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs, July 31st, did you ever think you'd see anything like it? Probably not, and hopefully we never see it again, but we're lucky to see it at all, right?
Yep.
Everything's
Agreed.
All good. Everyone's through their exhibition games, no major injuries, no positive tests. So I think we're going to get there, and I think we're going to hopefully award a Stanley Cup winner. And we were thinking about this earlier today because there's so many different storylines you can lean towards, right? Like you can make a compelling case for any team winning the cup,
right?
And why that would be a cool story or a unique story. But we're going to try to narrow it down to three each. And we might have some overlapping choices here.
Right.
You can get creative with this any possible way you want to look at it. But our top three most compelling cup winners. So we're looking into the future a couple of months. All right, who wants to kick the party off?
Want me to kick the party off?
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
generalize.
Are you doing? Is he doing all three though? Are you doing all three? Or
you can do all three. We'll go around
all
the
all
table.
Three.
We'll go all the noodles, then I'll go last.
Now my number one since 1993, a Canadian team. It's kind of general, but I'm going a Canadian team. Like to have a Canadian team actually do this. I'm getting a little sick of our guys going south of the border for the Stanley Cup final, and it's just not a Canadian team. Can it happen? Teams like Edmonton. Edmonton is fascinating, although their decor is a little bit suspect. With McDavid and Draisaitl, if you're looking for guys to get on heaters to get this thing done, they can do it as well as anybody in the NHL. You look at Toronto, it's fascinating. Can their skill guys go on heaters? I got the Nashville Predators in there, too. They are a team where everyone has counted their window as being closed. If they could somehow get going and Pekka Rene could get cooking, they were in the finals a few years back against Pittsburgh. Can they come back? They would be like a really good team that's a Cinderella story.
Right.
And I got the St. Louis Blues. They're, you know, can they go back-to-back? I think they're getting Tarasenko back healthy. They're a team that is designed to win. Since Berube took over, they seem to have this down. They're a winning factory right now. They know how to get it done. If Bennington can be hot again, who knows if they can repeat. That's my three-pack.
Yeah, I like it. I like St. Louis based on the comparing and contrasting of the pursuit, right? Like last year, you're at home, and there's thousands of people, and you're in St. Louis, and now you're in a bubble. You know, to win back-to-back in such different capacities would be incredibly compelling.
Yeah, impressive list. I went more specialized. So
okay. All right.
I'm going to start at three.
Yeah.
I agree. As much as I agree with the Canadian teams, I'll go with the Edmonton Oilers. And the reason being is look at where they were a year ago, Chiarelli. And, you know, we talked in the show, McDavid is probably going to want out. You know, like it seemed like a tire fire. It really did.
Yep.
And in 1 year, Ken Holland's come in and stabilized that organization. He's made some fantastic trades, a couple of savvy moves. They developed some young guys have stepped in. Like Edmonton would just be, that's what would be compelling for me, just because of where they were a year ago.
And you're from there.
Well, no, I don't care. Like just whether they win or lose, you guys get
put it back on the board. Put it back on the board.
All right. Number two, Vegas. Because all they do is win, and Hayes' head would explode.
Yes, it like certainly would.
You go to the finals, and then they probably, you know, should have won against San Jose. Like it to me, it's just all they do is win.
Yeah, like, that would be it. Would be like a scene from the movie Saw at my house. I'd be laying on the ground. I'd be chained.
And you could do anything you wanted because Jiffy would come and fix it.
They would. Yeah. Jiffy would find a way to get me out of that precarious position.
Honestly, right. Like I watched Vegas play last night. I'm like, they're a really good team.
They're so
like,
good.
You forget about them.
And they're
like,
a veteran team, right? They're new
exactly.
in the league, yet they're a vet team.
Yeah. So that one would be – compelling is the wrong word, but it would be frustrating.
Right.
And number one is – this is another head-exploding one. The Rangers, Jim Dolan.
Yep.
Getting a Stanley Cup.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, like
I know it would be
because when you think about it, the Rangers weren't supposed to be in the playoffs. They sent out a letter not that long ago, rebuilding. They go and sign the Breadman. They've got a star in Shesterkin and Net. They've got two really good young defensemen. Like they're kind of in that rebuild. You land Zibanejad in a trade. Like that team is a pretty good team. I don't see them winning the cup, but that would be a compelling story.
It would
just
be.
Based on you know, who was it that the Knicks are hiring a new coach and they're saying
it's Tom
a winning.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, it's a winning tradition here, and, you know, to add, if they got a Stanley Cup, Jim Dolan would get a Stanley Cup.
That is scary to think of, that Jim Dolan could be a winner. He could be considered a winner. I will say about the Thibodeau comment, I don't know if he was speaking in general about the Knicks. If he was, then he's just lying.
Like, right.
They're not associated with winning at all. But the city of New York is. I mean, the Yankees win all the time. The Giants have won two Super Bowls in the last 15 years. you know, you can't deny that the city of New York wins or
are
winners.
You just can't lump the Knicks into that.
Just the Knicks are not included. Yeah, you cannot include
right.
the Knicks.
Right.
Okay, I like it. Very compelling. We have some overlapping, but for different reasons.
Okay.
So I'll get to my three. Starting at three, I will say a 12th place team. So in other words, Chicago or Montreal. Neither team should be there. They don't deserve to be there. They would not have been there if it was a conventional 82-game season. And they're two massive markets, original six teams. So the idea of one of them going on a run, because both of them are not. I don't think either of them are getting out of the first round. But it's not like they're going to meet in a cup final, Chicago and Montreal. And it could get crazy. It's not going to get that crazy. But the idea that that storyline keeps coming up, they shouldn't have even been there. They're a massive marketplace. They were dead in the water. And then somehow, you know, in almost the craziest form of, I don't know if it's irony or whatever, COVID in a way saved their season because it allowed them to get into the playoff run. And if they go on a run, I think it would speak for itself. I lumped the New York teams in because of COVID in many ways. New York City has been the epicenter of COVID, you know, in North America and in the States. So if you get the Rangers or the Islanders going on a run, it's also the biggest market down in the States. And I think it's important that the NHL finds a way to avoid a smaller market, lesser team to keep the hype alive. You know, the NBA is going to have it. One of the LA teams is getting there. And either LeBron or Kawhi is in the NBA Finals. You can bank on it. You just know it. So the NBA is going to have it. I do think it would be in the best interest of the NHL and anyone talking about this sport, ourselves included, in terms of compelling storylines, if you got a major market or a team loaded with superstars that get all the way to the cup final. I think this year more than ever, I think it would be great for the league and the marketing and keeping the life alive and the buzz alive. And with that in mind, this is pretty shocking. I think the three of us, for the first time ever, have this team in our top three. I have Edmonton at number one. But I have Edmonton at number one for a couple of different reasons. One, what I just said, a carryover from what I just said. McDavid going on a cup run would be, I think, the best thing this league could ask for.
In Edmonton.
In Edmonton, the only team that could have a buzz in the city. And that's exactly what you'd get. The cup final is going to be in Edmonton. If the Oilers are in it, you'd actually have life in the city. I don't know what Edmonton's going to be like if it's Washington-Vegas in a cup final. I think there'll be some buzz. There probably would be, but you can't go into the building. But if the Oilers are in that cup final and they're playing in their building and they're in town, then you would somehow, I feel like there would be energy. You'd pick up on it. If the COVID numbers keep dropping out there, all of a sudden you'd have street parties, which
I
don't
know
if I'm...
How would that shake down? Because let's put the Leafs in that scenario too. Say the Leafs are in, you know, have made it deep into the playoffs, like, nobody's going down to Scotiabank, like, you know.
Yeah,
nobody's,
but I think they would zoom right to stage seven.
That's
like,
what I'm
like
saying.
They would just you couldn't stop it. It would be.
I was thinking about that today, and Andy brought that up to me on the lunch. Is they're potentially having like drive-in viewing parties, but you know, like different types of thought process to try and at least allow fans some form of an experience other than just sitting on your couch.
I think the drive-through possibility has been floated out. That could happen. But anything that would involve two people standing beside each other, the teams and the NHL want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, nothing.
Because you don't want to be liable. You don't want to be advocating for people, you know, coming together in crowds. Not right now. I mean, maybe we're in a better situation a month and a half from now, or 2 months from now. Maybe. Knock on wood. But that's why I think Edmonton, because they're the exclusive home of the Stanley Cup final, right? The conference final and the cup final will be played in Edmonton. It's the only possible team that could have a home field advantage or home ice advantage, even though there won't be fans in the building for it. And I think the McDavid angle goes a long way for me. I think more so than ever, you could really use your superstar going on a run because it would make it that much more electric and just almost focused on one guy. You know, as much as Draisaitl would play a role,
right,
Koskinen would play a role, but if it's McDavid's pursuit, you know, the young superstar, the flag bearer of this league and likely going to hold on to that position for the next 10 or 12 years, chasing his first cup and playing every other night, that's as good as it gets, I think, for storytellers.
Yeah, I mean, I had Edmonton just because it wasn't that long ago that Chiarelli, like, there was
you know, that's like a different angle. Like, I'm with you on that. I'm not disputing it.
It was just such a, you had McDavid, you had some pieces, but they just weren't coming together. And
well, they went to the conference final, and then they were out of the playoffs the next year, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, they got to the second round. They lost in seven. Was it to Anaheim?
To Anaheim.
They had it.
Yeah, they were up like three games to one.
The refs screwed them over in that
badly. Exactly.
Anyway, we got a preview show coming up on TSN. So, oh, you're out of here, right? You're in studio with Duffy and Bob and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed being in here. I got to talk to the boss, see if I can come in here a few times next week.
Good luck.
It was just nice to be in here, fellas.
Yeah, say hi to Mullen for us and his dog.
And Kenny.
I know his dog's in there.
Kenny is the man. He is ready to rock.
All right, and Kenny, boy, back on the board for the
you
final
got,
hour.
Speaking of Kenny, you got to get the Kenny Blythe jingle later
in the
show.
Yeah, we will. We're going to play the jingle. We're going to play that. All right, buddy. We'll see you Monday at 4.
All right, guys. See ya.
There's the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. We are on Monday, for those wondering. We will be on the air on Monday throughout the station, from the morning guys all the way up to us in the afternoon. Hour 2 up next. Rays coming up. Mark Shapiro at 5:30. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.